Enjoy two reality-based fiction novels, Reality Check Stepmother Chronicles and Love Conquers All. Relax, relate, and release with author Angelon Edwards as she shares stories of complicated familial relationship dynamics. Embrace the insight of stepmom Carmen Fuller with her eye-opening experiences in the novel, Reality Check Stepmother Chronicles, and get connected with the drama-filled lives of Adrian and Essence in the novel Love Conquers All. Both novels are available online in paperback and ebook at xlibris.com, amazon.com, and bn.com. Check out her website at www.stepmother-chronicles.com and www.loveae.net for excerpts.
Hello and welcome to a featured author special on the Artist First Radio Network. I'm Richie K here in Studio A, and today my guest is Ryan Johnson. Ryan Johnson is the author of All That Glitters Ain't Gold and Never Again Would I. He's a self-published author, columnist, and an avid freelancer. Mr. Johnson has been writing in the field for the past 3 years. His passion for the pen and pad is countless, yet Mr. Johnson is always looking for new and exciting ways to find inspiration in the writing field. His first work is titled All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1. Mr. Johnson counts among his influences Richard Wright, Kwan, Omar Tyree, and others. He contributes weekly to the urban magazine UBAWA, Urban Black Authors and Writers. And his current novel, which will be published under Publish America, is titled Never Again Would I. This novel will be hitting bookstores and online major retailers in late December 2011, so look for the author to tour throughout the U.S. at numerous book fairs in 2012. And now it's my pleasure to bring Ryan Johnson. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine, Richard. How are you doing, my friend?
Great. Thanks for joining us today on the network.
Okay.
Well, let's get to know a little bit more about you. You've written apparently two books. Is this your second book that has come out now?
That is correct, Richie. As you stated earlier, my first novel was called All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1. That was out late 2010. You can get that on Amazon.com. Currently, the publisher is putting out my second one, Never Again Would I, which is set to drop, matter of fact, Christmas. It'll start hitting on online stores. This first novel, Never Again Would I, is under a contract, so this is my first contract. The first one was just self-published.
Oh, great. So how would you find the difference between those two methods? Do you think there's a real difference between self-publishing and finding an outside publisher?
Actually, you have a very good question, Richard. It's interesting that you should say that. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And I believe anybody who has done the two routes, far as self and contract, they know exactly what I'm talking about. But for those who have or are just getting their feet wet and they're trying to see which route they want to take, the self-publish is a great way to go if you're a first-time author, at least in my opinion. When I did All That Glitters Ain't Gold Volume 1, I got to design the spine, the bio, the pictures, the front, the back cover. I got to format. I got to write it. I mean, the whole sequence was just amazing because it was my handwork over everything, and I loved it. With the contract, that's a little different. A little bit of the creative control is taken away from the author as far as what pictures do you want for the bio, how do you want it to read, how do you design the book cover. But what I'll tell anybody is if you do get a contract, the good thing about having a publisher is that with the publishers, they have a big machine behind them. So you get a very good machine behind you to push you. And with my publishers, Publish America, I love that they have so many outlets. They know so many people, so I love it.
So I take it that the first novel that you put out on your own and entirely by yourself received rave reviews and was pretty successful, and then that's how you got picked up by a publisher?
Well, how I did it, Richie, was I first said to myself, well, how do I get in this? Because I didn't know about the publishing thing. I was still brand new, but I wanted to get my feet wet. So I found CreateSpace, which is an offshoot of Amazon.com. That's their publishing wing. I got in with them. I set up everything. I let a lot of my little copies or inserts of my chapters, I would put out a chapter maybe once a week on Facebook. And my friends would hit the link, they would read it, they would rate it, and they would talk about it. And so after that, a couple of people started really kind of getting on it, kind of looking at it. So I said to myself, okay, how can I get a contract so I can get just a little bit bigger? And a friend of mine told me, hey, why don't you try Publish America? Why don't you submit your information, you know, submit your book, let them take a look at it. Well, I sent it to them. I let them look at it. And a couple of days later, they wanted to know if I wanted to sign. So I looked at the contract because I was still new to this, so I didn't know how this went. And I decided to sign with them. I liked what I saw on the contract.
Great. So it's been rewarding and pleasurable to work with Publish America then, too.
It's been great. It's been great because even with them, I'm still learning. So I'm still learning how this game goes, and I'm still learning the ins, the outs. So they're showing me a lot, but they give me a lot of access to a lot of book fairs, bigger people, you know, bestsellers list or their own bestsellers list. So it's a pretty good outlet.
So they're helping to promote.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Talking about promoting, right now they're in the process of setting me up a book signing tour. So I do have one date scheduled in February 2012 in Houston, Texas.
Great. So what actually got you started wanting to be a writer?
Oh, what's that mean? Well, first off, if anybody else wants to take a look at my bio, I'm a graduate, a recent alumni of University of Houston and the Roy G. Collin English department. So I'm an English major. So writing is really me. It's something that I really enjoy. It is something that I really, really love. But my mother, she's an avid reader herself. She gave me a novel from Omar Tyree, who I count amongst as one of my biggest influences. After reading it, and I was really, you know, I really enjoyed it, I said to myself, I could write too. If he can write, I'm pretty sure I can write as well. So from then on, I would take out my little 70-page Widewood notebook. I still remember. It was yellow, 70 pages. And I'd be at work and make sure nobody would see me. I would go sneak off and I would write a page a day. Mm-hmm. And it was just fun. First, it was just for fun. And then sooner or later, it developed into something very serious. And so then chapters started producing, then concepts started producing, the characters started to produce, and then it just became a novel. And that's how I started.
So did you have a finished idea about how the story would be at the beginning, or did it, like you say, just kind of evolved organically out of this first kind of experiments, I guess?
Well, and that's such a good question, because the deal with that is, at first, we're just starting out, just seeing how it'd go. I was filling the location, what would be the plot, who would be the characters, what would it all be about. And then, as we went on, it started getting more concrete. So,
great.
It was pretty interesting. I loved it.
I think everybody has their own style, sort of how they go along with it to
right.
write a book. A lot of, some people... you know, do tons of research and, you know, into the, and they have a really good idea, like, what the story is going to be about before they start
exactly.
writing it. And then others, I think, kind of just, they come up with it as they go along, and it's part of a creative process for them.
And that's how I write. I'll be very honest with individuals, and I'll be honest with readers and fans of books. When it comes to me, I like to write in an organic manner. You know, the formula I follow is 3 months of writing, 2 months of reviewing it, and then 2 months of rereading it again. So I don't even consider my book finished until up to words about a year. I consider my own books complete.
So it kind of flows out at one point, and then you go back through an editing process later.
I'm so strict on myself. I'll be honest. Because as a writer, I think any writer will agree, you are your own biggest critic. So if you're your own biggest critic, you are always critiquing yourself. You're always editing. You're always looking. You want to see what do other people think, because you're just very excited to see what is the finished project at the end of it.
Can you tell us a little bit about your latest book?
Sure. Never Again Would I? Sure. It's called Never Again Would I, and this is my second novel. My first novel was a little bit more, I want to say, urban lit or a little bit more street lit. So what that means is it was a little bit more harder content, my first go-around. The second go-around is a little bit more softer. It's more romantic. The main character who you have a Miss Marie Jones. She's a 33-year-old African-American female. She is a trial lawyer in Austin, Texas. It's been 2 years. She's been with her fiancé, Marcus Alliston. He's a media executive. He breaks off with her at the beginning of the novel, so you get to see Marie in a little bit of a more sadder, a little bit more depressed state. But she is also in somewhat love with her new, with her current employer, David. David is also the head of the firm where she's at. But she also deals with issues of, should she be with David, or should she also be in love with a lesser individual in the law world, a Lawrence? So she's still tipping on both at the same time. She's dealing with issues with her father, who left the family years ago as a little girl. And then also you have the mother who she deals with, who is dying of cancer. Their relationship is not the best, being as her mother has chosen many males over her daughter. So they still have issues themselves. And last but not least, she deals with her best friend of 10 years in the law field, Zora Knowles. And Zora lives three different type of lifestyles. Out of those three, two of them deal with either her physical health and also her standing in the lawyer world. So it's a lot of ins and outs. It's a lot about perception. And it's about what would you never do again for love? Or on the flip side, what would you do again to regain love?
What was it like to write from a woman's perspective?
It's not easy, Richie. It's just really not easy. As in urban literature or African-American content, many times the males write from a female perspective. But it's not easy, because as a male, no matter what the race, you have to put yourself in the position of a female. How does she feel? How does she dress? What is her emotions? What would she think? What would she say? So this roundabout, I had to research women's fashion for the season. I had to, and it's very funny, I would sometimes just often view women as they walked. How do they react with males, relationships with females, because I really want to capture the essence of a female. You know, and not also that, but a female in her 30s is a professional who's looking for love. You know, I had to do a lot of research into that. I had to look into court cases. How do cases run in the lawyer, in the law world? So it was a lot of researching, a lot. But I think I may have got it. I believe I may have got it. But it was a lot of research.
Have you heard any feedback from women who have read the book? You know, what do they think when they read the
book? As a matter of fact, I have. One thing I like to do, I like to get manuscripts that are not all the way through, but I like to get them, and I like to give them to reader groups, you know, for free, just to dig into their minds and see what do they think about the novel. And the reviews that I have gotten from women is that they like the fact that how I have portrayed the ladies as in how they walk, how do they feel, what do they say, you know, just the overall emotions from them. You know, so I have gotten pretty good reviews about it because I really want to dig into the female psyche and just see how does she feel, how would she react to certain things.
So the main character here is trapped in sort of a love triangle, trying to choose between two potential future partners. And what was the, I guess, inspiration for that character?
Was inspiration for Maureen Jones?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the way I came up with Maureen Jones was, again, whenever I write, it comes from a very more emotional type of touch or research. So I came up with Maureen Jones from actually a young lady in my family. We do have cancer prevalent in my family. It is something that is a major issue for us. And unfortunately, one of the ladies in my family died from it. Her daughter, which is somewhat loosely based on Maureen Jones, is who I'm writing on and who I'm writing from. She's not a lawyer herself. She's not a lawyer herself. I will say that. She's not a lawyer. The daughter of the young lady in my family. But I just decided I'll put it in a more lawyer world, as in the sense when individuals read my book, they'll see that the reason why Marie gets into law is to fight for her mother, whose insurance was denied when she was going through chemo in her earlier stage of cancer. So I just transferred the issue between the young lady and my family and her daughter into the law world. And this is where you find Maureen Jones.
Great. That kind of leads me to my next question, which was how much of the story when you write is based on real life and how much comes entirely from your imagination?
Are we talking about just this novel or just in general?
In general, kind of with all your writing experience.
Actually, I've been asked that many times. People will read my books, and they will say, wow, Ryan, this kind of seems very serious. Like, this seems very emotional. Is this real? Because, again, when I write to make it seem so real, and I'm writing with so much passion and emotion. So, to make a long story short, when it comes to writing, it is 10% based on real-life situations. Of course, you can never use the name. Of course, the whole traditional disclaimer, you can't use actual people. But it's 10% based on certain events, and it's 90% just what my imagination can wrap around that 10% and create.
Well, that's what gives it that real essence, I guess.
Because I really want to get to the realness.
Right. That's why people can relate to it, right?
And you know, that's the thing about it. When you read my novels, I want you to say, hey, that seems like something I've been through, or I know that person. Or you might read it, you might say, hey, that sounded so real. That seems so real. So if you can read my book and you can say, this seems kind of real, I've did my job.
Can you tell our listeners where they can find your novels and the best place to find out more about you?
No, definitely, definitely. For any of the readers or listeners or anybody just interested in Ryan Johnson and my two novels, All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1, and Never Again Would I, you can find All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1 at Amazon.com. You can just type in All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1. The volume is spelled V-O-L and just a 1. And you'll find me, Ryan Johnson, and that's where you can find mine. For this new novel under Publish America, which is titled Never Again Would I, you can go to the publisher's website, which is publishamerica.com, type in the search box, Never Again Would I, and you will find my book just right there. It'll also list a short little synopsis. And also, if you just want to get to know Ryan Johnson as a writer, you can go to the Southern author Ryan Johnson .webs.com. And I am sorry that it is a little long. I am being hosted by webs.com, but that's where you can find me. You can find my calendar, which I update every week. You can see pictures that I put up. You can find links to my books, to my website, to the individual who does my photography, which is Laylee Hillman. That is who does my photography and my photos. So you can go to her website, Lezu Photography. I have a link up there as well. And if you want to just see my blogs and what I write about, every month I contribute to an online magazine. It's called Ubawa, U-B-A-W-A. And it stands for Urban Book Authors and Writers of America. And I have a link that takes you directly to my homepage on that site. And you can just click on it and you can just see all my blogs, which I write weekly. I know it's a lot of information. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to put it out there, Richard.
No, that's great. Thank you so much. So, again, check out the urban author, ryanjohnson.webs.com. To learn more about Ryan Johnson. And I'd like to take our listeners, if you wouldn't mind, Ryan, do you have the book in front of you?
Actually, not right now. I do apologize. I don't have it now in front of me.
Oh, okay. Well, isn't there a place also where they can read an excerpt from your novels online?
Of course, of course. I'm glad you mentioned that. If you type up, if you go on my website, I have where you can click on a certain link. That link takes you to Create Space, where I published my first novel, All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1. And I have two excerpts from my old novel, and I have two excerpts from this novel, Never Again Would I. What you can do, which is the most easiest ways I can say, just go to my home website as a personal author, click on links. You'll see a drop-down menu, which neatly displays all my information. And just click on the Create Space link, and you can look at two chapters from both books and just get a better feel on who I am and just the content that I write on.
I think that's a really neat website. You say you actually wrote the book on that website?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I wrote my first novel, All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1. I wrote the novel, and then I uploaded it to the website for Amazon.com, which is createspace.com. That is their publishing wing, and I uploaded the whole novel, and I just designed the whole covers, the bios, and then I just took a chapter each, well, maybe one or two chapters, and I just uploaded them. And what I did was, so people can interact with me, and I can just pick their brains and see what do they like, what they don't like, I add about two or three questions about the chapter, and then I put a rate space, so you can rate the book as well.
When I go there, I've found an excerpt that describes a funeral scene for a woman, I believe, who died of AIDS.
Correct. In my first novel, All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1, you have a young lady who is the protagonist. She has a mother who is a very young mother who was pregnant with the main character at around 13 to about age 15. She was trapped in a very fast life. Out of that fast life, the mother finds a very good gentleman who treats her very well and loves her so much. But the fast life caught up with the mother before she got with the gentleman. And as a result, the protagonist's or the main character's mother receives HIV. So she develops HIV along the way, but the father loves the young lady so much that he still stays with her and he raises her daughter. So I brought the funeral page in because I just wanted readers just to see sort of the consequences of a fast life slash I wanted you to see the main character when she was younger and see how she develops. Would she follow in the mother's footsteps and continue a fast life? Or would she simply wise up and also, you know, take another different route in life?
I like one place on in this excerpt from your book. You say, she came a long way from Gucci and Prada chasing, he thought. And this was describing her free clinics and health benefits and fundraisers that she had organized exactly. in the last days of her life. And I just thought that was a nice way of, you know, describing just, you know, the evolution that a person can go through as they suffer with disease and things like that.
Right, because the mother, for so long, lived a very quick and fast life, and she used her beauty, and she used her body to get over as many men as she could, and she thought that in the process, she was climbing. And in a sense, she somewhat was, but a little mistake here and there, and she contracted a very deadly STD. Now, when she incurs her future husband, and she is with him, she finally admits to him who she slept with, what she's contracted, and also how she wants to change her life. And then, in a sense, what she does is she establishes fundraisers, foundations for women, and not just black women, for all women. Because this is her ways of making amends for her past mistakes. And hopefully she wants her daughter to learn from them as well. But she dies so young. So young, she dies.
Well, I think all of your stories, have a sort of a changing character in them.
Yes.
Where the character would actually develop as the storyline progresses and grow.
And I'm very glad that you saw... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about that, if you would, please.
No problem. My writing style, although I try to switch it from now and then a little bit, I always try to make it to where, okay, you know this is a Rian Johnson novel. You see, this is sort of my trademark. My trademark is you have an individual who deals with a lot of issues who is still trying to figure themselves out. And they're between two mediums. One medium is a very high. Another medium is a very low. But they're still trying to find that medium, if they can. But they suffer, or they're dealing with an individual who might be the source of their issues. And then on the other end, they are dealing with an individual who is going through something very life-changing. And from that, it changes the character to either go one route or another route. So, yes, death does play in my novels. Trying to figure out who you are as an individual plays in my novels as well. So I really like the whole scope of chapter 1. You see the individual. But by chapter 18 or 20, this is a very wiser, older, they know where they're going, they know what they want now type of individual. So I do like changes, and I do like progression. I like to see my characters progress.
Is there a real reason for that to you? Does that it seems to me that maybe that would be, you know, an inspiration to those who read the book to also you know, grow wiser as the characters in your book grow wiser.
Well, as I said, my three biggest influences on writing is Omar Tyree, Quan, and Richard Wright. Many may know Quan from Section 8, Hood Rats, very big book, bestseller. It's a very, 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 very cool New York Times bestseller. Matter of fact, I got to meet the gentleman at the NBBF, or the National Book Black Book Festival in Houston, Texas, matter of fact, this last June. And I got to really talk with him. As a matter of fact, Arthur First was there, too. Arthur First Radio Network was there, Mr. G.L. Henderson.
In Houston. We love right, GL.
Right. So I got to meet him, and as I passed by him, I always said to myself, you know what? One of these days, I might get on. I really, really would be cool if I could get on with the radio station. So I got on with him. But to get back to the story, Quan I got to meet, and at that talk with Quan, he sent me down. He really laid it out to me about this literature thing. And when I talked with him, he informed me that you have to be true to form. You have to be true to what you're writing. It can't be something that you don't know about. It has to be something that you do. Because if you know about it, you can write about it. People believe it. People feel it. So from that conversation, I took that, hey, when I write, this has to be about what I know. This has to be something honest, truthful, not lies. Because I cannot fool my readers. I have to be honest and upfront. And so I feel that only as a writer, I have to be upfront with writers.
Are there any other themes or great thoughts or inspirations that help you in your day to day when you're writing and just like help
yes,
guide the novel through?
Yes, there is. Of course, being an African American male and a contributor, and I'm so lucky. I think I'm lucky to be in urban literature and urban writing. As an African-American male, I like to really introduce African-American males in my novels. Readers will see when they look at both books, I have different forms of an African-American male. I have a thug. I have the educated black male. I have a black male who is trying to compensate for self-esteem issues. I have a black male who's just trying to make it at the $9 an hour job. He may not have a lot, but he's trying. I also try to introduce the black male who's going to school. He's trying to achieve something. One of the black males that I really like to put in my novels, I like to put the one who used to live the fast life, but got out of it very quick and very young, and is trying to change his life. So I really try to put different views of a black male. That's a very huge, huge theme I like to put in my novels.
Do you ever worry that the characters are too stereotypical in that sense? Or do you find that the stereotypes kind of are very reflective of broad themes, the things that actually are affecting a lot of people?
Well, I will say the latter. I will say the latter because I try to dispel myths, rumors, false thoughts about African-American males. So through my novels, I give you the stereotypical one. I give you the mainstream one. But I also give you and I challenge you to look at another one that I am giving you who is not typically what you read in the novels or what you read in the books. You see, so I really try to balance out and just show you things. So without telling you, I'm trying to show you different viewpoints.
Right. I think you were going to go on and explain maybe some other common themes that show up in your work.
Oh, sorry, okay.
Sure.
I'll give
Thank
the wrap
you.
Up in the last one.
Sure.
another theme. So if one theme is the African-American male, I like to, on the other medium, I like to give you the African-American female. I like to show a different form of a black female. This is the more professional, she can be very soft-spoken, but she knows what she wants. But she refused to be used, but she does need to be loved. And she's not ashamed to admit that she wants to be loved and that she would love to be married. You see, I did not want this to be the stereotypical in many novels, and I love black lit. I am a black lit writer. But many times we may have a more louder, a more flashier black female. I wanted to tone that down and give you another side of a black female. You see, so I do like to use a theme of the black female as well and build her up, not break her down, but, make her real. You see? Make her somebody really real, a real woman. So the black female and the black male, and the last one is the black relationship. I like to play off of both the black male and the black female's emotions. I like to play off of the roles. For as a man, do I lead? Does she lead? I am the man. I'm in charge. For her, it may be he may not know what he wants to be. He may not know what he wants to do. So I like to play off of gender roles in the black relationship. So those are three common themes I like to put in my novels.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. There's often a large quantity of suffering, which leads to realization and then this kind of struggle to you know, through life, in your novels and in life. I just wonder, is there any sort of spiritual or deep feeling or idea that helps guide you to you know, overcome, well, have your characters overcome throughout the stories?
Yes. When I write, I say that I'm a two-time writer. Two-time meaning, one, I write and something guides me in that writing, and secondly, the character who I'm writing about, they're in a way writing because they're doing what I am writing. So far as what guides me as the first writer, I try to imagine an ending and then work it backwards. So I may know how it's going to end, but then I just work it to the front and see, how do we start this? Where do we go just to get to the end? Mm-hmm. So that's what may guide me. But I use, as far as myself, that guides me. I use personal issues. I use maybe family issues, life issues. I use that. As far as the character, and I say they're the second writer, what I have them do in my novels, they're doing it, but in a sense, I pick off from those characters and what I have them do, I build upon more of what they're doing and right. See how further can I push them in the novel. So this is what
it's kind of like natural. Maybe what I'm saying wouldn't be something that's very apparent, but which maybe you could interpret from the events, but really
correct.
You're focusing more on just the storyline and how the storyline should evolve, you know, and this character would do this in this situation.
Exactly. Exactly. So both characters are doing things that I'm writing about, but as I'm writing, I get more ideas about how I could push it more. But what else could I have them do?
Great. So I think you've got a good start here. Great two novels now. The second one coming out with Publish America supporting you.
Correct.
Planning a book tour this year. You're on track, looks like, to write one book a year. What does you think the future holds for you, Ryan?
That's a good idea. I'm moving so fast, and I'm just thinking about just taking a little break. But if you are a slave to that pen, you just can't help it. You got to keep writing. What the future holds for me? As of right now, like I said, I've just recently graduated from the University of Houston as an English major. So I'm headed more into publishing houses. So I'm looking to join a publishing house. So I'm still looking. If anybody knows of any, please let me know. So I'm still looking. There's that lane, and then there's the lane. I'm lurking, or I'm in the process of trying to work for a university because I am a big fan of education. So I am looking to work in universities as well. But to get back to just writing in a sense, I plan to write forever. I plan to write as much time as I have of any time I have. I'd love to drop a novel a year because that's just how much I am into books. And I really plan on trying to attend as many book fairs as I can every year. So the future for Ryan Johnson is to keep dropping novels, keep freelancing. I'm a big, big, big avid freelancer, so I'm still open for projects. And keep blogging. I like this blogging thing. I never used to be a big fan of it. Now I really am a big fan of blogging. So I plan to keep my blog sites going. And, yeah, that's it for me. Just
great.
Really keep this writing thing going. Don't stop. You know, if you really love something, you just keep at it. You don't stop.
Well, I'd like to talk about your love of blogging and your experience for that. But first, I just wondered, the first thing you mentioned was trying to find a publisher. Have you heard of Maxine Thompson or Black Butterfly Press?
I have heard of them. I have heard of them. That does sound familiar, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I have.
Well, they're so, you know, Dr. Maxine Thompson is a author of several books, and she's been doing a show here on the network interviewing
correct.
Authors for the last 15 years, I would say.
Wow.
And a lot of people have come on her show, Master P, to name just one. But many authors who have, everybody who's just either starting out or have already achieved a lot of success. And she's interviewed a lot of amazing people. But she has a Black Butterfly Press, and she releases books through there. You might consider submitting your work to her and seeing if she'd be interested in in publishing there. And that might be one other opportunity for you. Look into that.
I never try to cut down contacts. Something I'll tell any individual who's listening right now, if you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, a brother, an aunt, even a grandmother, if they really want to get into this writing thing, network. Network, network, network. Always try to network and get yourself in with anybody or just everybody. Networking is key, so key.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times your success is not so dependent on what you know, but who you know and how
Bingo.
You work to get it going in this business. And a lot
correct.
Of people also don't realize that it is a business.
That work creates
a lot of effort, too. You know, just writing the book itself is difficult, but then promoting
exactly.
it and making sure people hear about it. And
correct.
That's also a full-time job.
No, and you know, it really is, because when I first wrote my first novel, I'll tell anybody, I would write in a yellow 70-page write rule. I would just go hide somewhere, and I would just write and just think to myself, and I would just write. And I was thinking to myself, okay, cool, I have a book. I wrote it in my 70-page write rule. I'm through. And it's like, no, you're not through. You still have to design the book. You got to market the book. You got to try to sell the book. You have to go to book fairs. You have to see if you can get on a radio station and talk about it. It's a lot. It is a business. It really is a business.
And the more you work at it and approach it like that, the more success you'll have, I'm sure.
Exactly. Exactly. I know a lot of people, especially when they're first coming out, as I did myself with my first novel, when I would get reviews at first, and it may not have been the views that I was looking for, it was somewhat discouraging. It kind of hurts, especially if you're anybody in the arts, whether it's film, music, or writing. If you may not get those first reviews that you like, it can be kind of detrimental. But the trick is, you got to put mind over matter and just say, hey, I'm still going to stay at it. This is what I'm very serious about, and I enjoy this.
Right. And, you know, you're invariably going to have critics of your work,
so
putting yourself out
critics.
There in a big way, you know, bearing the innermost contents of your mind and soul through your writing. And, you know, everybody is going to have their opinion on it.
This is true. This is really true. What many may not know, I've given my first novel, All the Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1, I've given that to professors to critique and look at it. Some were very good reviews. Some were very not, you know, they were not so hot, but it was okay. It was okay. I learned where I could patch things up, and I learned where I could improve upon things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learning experience. That's the best way I can say about this writing thing. It is a learning experience.
Right. And that's the best thing you can do from any kind of criticism. You know, it might hurt at first, but if you can grow and learn from that and apply it to your work.
Correct.
Then, you know, you're going to create a work of art that is more appealing in the long run to more people.
Exactly. And that's a trick. Don't necessarily take criticism as a horrible thing. Look at it as a way to improve on your rough draft. Because any writer, and I'm pretty sure they hear me right now, any writer can raise their hand and test. Just because you write the first draft does not make it final. You might have 5 drafts before you put your stamp of approval, maybe even more, before you put your own author stamp of approval on your own work.
Right. And aside from that, then just wait what other people have to say about it.
And then, and you know, the funny thing I've learned as an author is, no matter if you've written one book, doesn't matter if you've written 3 books, doesn't matter if you're a bestseller, your hands are always kind of jumpy, your heart is always kind of racing, because you want to know, what does one other person think about your novel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just get so excited for when review time comes out.
Right.
So, this is true. This is true.
And you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt, too. You know, maybe there's some other jealous author out there who just doesn't like anybody else's work. And they're writing all kinds of nasty reviews on websites. So, you know, you got to look at it from that perspective, too.
You know, the funny thing is, Richard, I say to any author who feels that they, quote-unquote, have not made it in writing, and they may take that route, I would say to them, stop. Stop. Regroup. Get back into writing. Take a writing workshop. You know, I've taken a writing workshop, I'll admit, and I was an English major. I've taken a writing workshop. Take a writer's workshop. Get a critique by a known author. You know, there's no shame in that. You can always be better. There's never a, I don't know if I made it, I think I've probably made it now. You know, it's, again, the best way I can say it is learning experience. That's the best that I can say.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experiences. And tell us again where our listeners can find your books and the best way to get in touch with you. And even if you're open to coming to events and speaking engagements of any kind.
No, definitely, Rich. No problem. Again, as my website states, if you would like to hold me for a speaking engagement, or if you would like me to come to a Megaplex, a City Union, a community center, you can reach me one of two ways. You can reach me on my personal cell, which is 832-605-1998. That's my personal cell. I keep it on me night and day. If I don't pick up, please leave me an email. Please do. Or if email works for you best, you can hit me at my website, either at thesouthernauthorryanjohnson.webs.com, or you can go to my personal email, which may be even better, Ryan, RyanJohnson, 1987, at AOL.com. If you're interested in me doing freelancing, or if you're interested in me coming to do a speaking engagement about my books, or just even doing a book signing, you can reach me those three sources. Now, to get in touch with my books and to get your hands on them, my first novel, All That Glitters Ain't Gold, Volume 1, is on createspace.com. Just type it in the search column. It will easily pull up my book, and you can buy it from there. Or if you want to also get your hands on my new novel that's coming out, Never Again Would I, from Publish America, you can go to publishamerica.com. You can type it in the search area, and it'll pull up my book by itself. It'll also give you a brief synopsis about the novel as well. And those are some of the good ways to get in touch with me and my novels.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us. Are there any last words of advice or encouragement that you'd like to give our listening audience? Shout outs to anyone out there in the world?
Definitely. First, I would like to get to just giving a shout out. First, I have to give a very, very big thank you to Miss Richards. Miss Richards is one of the directors of the NBBF, or the National Black Book Festival, in Houston, Texas, which happens here annually in, I believe, July. Her name is Gwen Richardson. You can catch her on Facebook, and you can also, on Facebook, give her a call. She's a very good lady. She's very inspirational. Through working with her and volunteering at the events, I've met so many people. So a very big thank you to Ms. Gwen Richardson. Also, another individual I have to really, really, really thank, and that would be Miss Danielle Leach. Miss Danielle Leach, she is the CEO of Bubawa Magazine, which is Urban Book Authors and Writers Association. She She's a CEO of the magazine. She also has a bookstore, which is opening up in Atlanta, Georgia. So if you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, she will be releasing and she'll be opening up her own bookstore coming very soon. And last but not least, I have to thank Ms. Lila Hillman. She is the owner of Lezu, L-E-Z-U, Photography. She does all my photography, and I love her. She has very great package rates, and that's who I trust to do my pictures. Her website is also on my links page at my own personal website, which is thesouthernauthorryanjohnson.webs.com. As far as advice, the best advice that I can give a writer, first off, is keep writing. Just keep writing. Whether it becomes a bestseller or it doesn't become a bestseller, keep writing and be your own biggest fan. Because when it comes down to it, if you don't believe in it, nobody else does. But to the new and up-and-coming or just coming in through the door writers, I would first say ask yourself two questions. One, what am I doing this for? And two, where am I trying to go with this? So that would be the two questions, or that's the advice I would give to a new person or just an up-and-comer. Figure out why you're doing this and figure out how far do you want to take this. Because depending on the answer that you give your own self, that's how far you will go in this.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us today on the network.
No problem. And I thank you, Richie, and I thank Authors First Radio Network. I think you guys are great. I think you guys are awesome. And I thank you for giving some of us up-and-comers, some of us new guys coming in, and also the established authors the time to speak and just get our information out there to the masses.
Have a great day, Ryan. And thank you again. And come back when you write your next novel.
Richard, you better believe I will come back again when I have another new novel for you all. Please believe I'll be around one more time.
Okay, great. Take care now.
I will. Thank you, Richard.
Oh, bye, though. You've been listening to an Author's First Radio special on the Artist's First Radio Network. Today my guest was Ryan Johnson. To learn more about him, please check out www.theurbanauthorryanjohnson.webs.com or follow the link off of the interview schedule page on our homepage, artistfirst.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.